This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Pastor touchdown, Buffalo.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
Back on One Bills Live, hour number two. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Steve, I really do have to say that, you know, when I am off on a rant and out of control, I appreciate the way you stoically and patiently wait for me to finish. I genuinely appreciate you letting me just get it all off my chest, all in one fell swoop. It just makes it easier. For everybody involved. So thank you for that.
I
never really noticed it until I looked at that little clip there at the top of the show. Now it's like Steve is just stoically waiting for me to finish.
Get it out, bro. It's like therapy, you know. Just let it go.
You
bro.
Do feel better after it's done.
Yeah, you do.
I will admit that.
You do. And by the way, so we were back in the studio for the first time in 5 months and one day, and neither of us could get our emails in, and now I got mine.
Worked. Mine's worked. Still not working.
Now we're still we're doing the tweet sheet from our phones.
That's right.
So just little tidbit of information that nobody cares about
on
our
like everything else. The last 5 months, we had to adjust.
We're blowing the bugs out of this system. So that's
we're experts at calling audibles at this point.
There we go.
But as we mentioned before the break, we have players to hear from on this Bills roster. As we know, we're getting closer and closer to real football. As a matter of fact, I was checking with our media relations department to make sure that I had the schedule correct as far as where the players are at this point in time. Because right after the agreement was, you know, signed off on by the players' union and the league about how training camp was going to work, there were three possible options based on when players were getting here, rookies and first-year players, injured players, veteran players. They were all coming in at different times, and that set up three different potential practice schedules in terms of when padded practice could begin and all of that stuff. So where they are now, here on Monday, is one of the last days of the strength and conditioning sessions. Tomorrow is the last day of those strength and conditioning sessions. Then Wednesday and Thursday start phase two, which will be followed by no pads, full speed practice on August 14th and August 16th. And then a week from today, the pads go on, Steve. So we're getting closer.
Very close. And it's I'm getting to the point where, you know, the closer we get, and the fact that the Bills haven't had a positive test, you know, they just activated Duke Williams. He had been on the list.
I believe he was the last of the five.
Right. So he was off, and now he's back. And I would anticipate, particularly at this point of the season, that, you know, they're going to be able to go for a while without having a positive test. I bet you they can string this together. And that's going to be it. I mean, how long of a streak can you go without somebody doing it? And then, and I told you this too early in the show, and I really believe this. I think every team, and maybe this one too, the Bills too, you're going to have that point where you've been buttoned up for a while, and maybe training camp's over. Maybe they've announced the final roster, and some of these young guys actually made the roster and they kind of slip up a little bit and say, hey, let's go out and have a pop, you know, to celebrate my, I'm on an NFL team, right?
Yeah.
And then you'll get a little scare there, right? So I'm pretty sure, it seems to me, these teams will have a scare like that where, and then all the veterans go, hey, hey, we told you, you know. And the message is, guys, it's 5 months. It's just 5 months. Just take a breath. Put the rest of your life on pause for the next 20 weeks.
Yeah.
Until we get this thing going. Just, we'll do it together. We're with you. We're in it together. Let's go. Just, you know, let's do it. And that's what, that's kind of what you got to sell for something. We're going to try, they're going to try and win a championship in these next 20 weeks. And every time you think about maybe going off the wagon or going over the wire to go out and have a beer or whatever, think about that, you know, because we're on a, we're on, they're on a mission to win a championship. And that's something, that's a lifetime achievement.
Yeah.
And it'll happen over the next 20 weeks if we can stay disciplined.
And one of the newest players to jump on board is Brian Winters, the guard who was released by the Jets a week ago this past Sunday. He was released on August 1st or 2nd, or August 1st, Sunday, August 1st. And we had the opportunity to speak with him, the media did, yesterday. And I was on the call listening in, asked a question myself. But he was great. You know, known as kind of a no-nonsense, blue-collar, tough-as-nails kind of player. But he had some interesting comments to offer and a little bit of information about some Western New York ties that he himself had. So he's very excited about the fit here. So let's listen to Brian Winters about some of those Western New York ties that he has.
I know what type of program it is. I know it's a hard-nosed, blue-collared area, and that's the type of football I play. I'm excited for that, and you know, I just felt like it was fitting for me. I actually have a lot of family from the East Aurora area, which is wild. So it's a fit. It's always has been. Yeah. So my aunt, and my uncle live in East Aurora, and my mom and my dad actually lived right here in Orchard Park for 8 years or so. They lived at right down the road from the facility or in the stadium. They used to walk the games. So I got some history here. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I was surprised to hear that. I can't imagine what that's got to be like as a player. Can you imagine that, Steve? Like you know what I mean? That'd be like your parents living down the street from Arrowhead or something. You know what I mean? And then you're playing for the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's just got to be the coolest feeling. Yeah. You know, now that he's playing for this team, you know, his aunt and uncle still live here. Probably neighbors of yours. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. maybe.
So that was kind of a cool little tidbit that he revealed there.
And not for nothing, here's the thing. And here's why you get a guy like Brian Winters, and it's huge, because you look at his bio. He started 9 games last year, and he was a real warrior because he went with a sore shoulder, and then it just got the best of him. We've seen guys do that.
Yeah, he needed surgery.
You gut it out, and you play as long as you can, then you get it fixed, and that's what he did. He started all 16 games in 2018, 13 games in 17, 13 games in 16. He saw all action in all 16 games and started 10 of them in 2015. He appeared in as a rookie. He played in all 16 games with 12 starts as a rookie in 2013, and he only appeared in 6 games in 2014.
Yeah.
He played – when he's on the field and active, he's on the field.
Right. And
he's on the field.
You know, we've talked about toughness, and we saw John Feliciano play with a bad shoulder last year and have surgery to get that repaired. And then, unfortunately, you know, he has the torn pec literally the day before he's supposed to report to camp, and he's out indefinitely. Winters is a guy that plays hurt too, as you mentioned with the shoulder. That wasn't just like a bad shoulder or like a stretched AC joint or something. The whole front of his shoulder capsule was compromised where it was dislocating during games, and he had even with a harness on. And I'm just going to say this. Linemen are nuts, man. Yeah. I mean, all that pushing and pulling, and you've got a bad wing? I mean, oh my gosh. So here, we're going to take it to another level. A couple years ago, in week 2, Brian Winters had an abdominal tear in his abdominal wall. He played 9 more games with it. Like, do you know the strain that your core goes through as a lineman? I mean, most of us don't, but I can imagine it with a 300-pound man leaning on me, wanting to throw me out of the way, and I'm trying to keep him from doing that, and I've got a torn abdominal muscle and I'm doing that? Holy cow.
Yeah, like, that's an ouch. Yeah, and
that's tough.
Think about it. I mean, they're just wired differently. Most ball players are. You never really feel 100%. There's always something, you know, going. But, you know, like everybody has aches and pains. For football players, that's a way of life, and it's how you manage them. And some of those aches and pains are dislocated shoulders, you know, busted fingers, broken thumb, broken arm. I mean, you can go down the line. I mean, when I played, my hands got broken nine different times. I got more football cards with my picture with a cast on than I do with gloves on. It's just a part of life. And to hear about a guy, the ab thing, while you say, well, it's a pull muscle. Listen, think about it.
Everything
you got to get
do.
Into your stance, explode out of your stance. You got to like reach with your shoulders and
like
push
you're tightening
with your hips.
Your core for all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's all core work. And to go with us, and you see guys get, you know, they're out for the season with a torn.
He played
ab.
9 games with that.
So it's
that's insane.
It's pretty nuts. And this is a guy who's coming in. He's gonna compete for a starting job.
Yeah,
and this is a guy who is a starting quality, high level.
He's got 89
guard.
Games, 79 starts.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a starting caliber player. He's gonna be right in that mix at that right
you're
guard
better,
spot with whoever else they've got there.
Even if you're deep at a spot, you're always better when you get better players. And I don't think there's any question the Bills got better when Brian Winters. Got on board.
Now,
even if John Feliciano was healthy, they're still better with Brian Winters.
Now, as excited as he is to be playing here, knowing his parents lived here for some time, his aunt and uncle still live in East Aurora, he dreaded coming here to play when he was with the Jets. So let's hear his thoughts on that.
My whole career, this was probably one of the toughest places to play. You know, obviously, being a rival that it is and being in the conference, in the division, it was always a place that I hated playing. You know, the fans are great. And I'm kind of happy they're on our side now, my side. So I'm excited for that. And, I'm eager. I am. I'm excited to be able to strap up against my old team. And, you know, like I said, I'm a Buffalo Bill now, and I'm excited.
So safe to say he's excited, since he said it 3 times there in about 20 seconds.
It's really interesting.
But, yeah, I mean, he didn't like playing here when he was playing for the wrong team. And here's another thing that we need to be mindful of also. I think a player, when they get released by another team, there's all the chips already there on the shoulder to kind of prove those people wrong. I am worth it. You should have kept me, this, that, and the other.
Right.
There's incentive to win the starting right guard job for Brian Winters. Because if you look at week one of the schedule, the Bills are playing his old team, the Jets.
Oh, is that right?
You think that guy wants to be in the lineup week one? Holy cats.
Oh, baby. And, you know, that is not lost on Sean McDermott either. And think about this. You're looking – Feliciano's out. He was the starting guard. So there's really nobody that you have to plug in and say, okay, you're our guard and somebody's going to have to beat you out. Like they did with Levi Wallace last year with Kevin Johnson coming in. You know, they left Levi Wallace in there throughout all training camp and only started rotating them in. So it wasn't like they just signed these guys off the street and plug them in because we think he's better than you. They got to prove it. So with John Feliciano being hurt, they bring Brian Winters in. They have the right, they could justify plugging him in right away at right guard, moving Cody Ford out to right tackle, and say, okay, it's your job to lose, and here we go.
Right.
So he's got a real shot at getting enough reps to do that.
And normally, Steve, I would say – I'm not sure that that's how McDermott would handle it, because how he has handled these so-called vacant positions in the past is, even if there is a clear-cut favorite in terms of ability, you know, football IQ, whatever it is, he always kind of has a competition regardless.
Right.
Let's let it play out. And you have other guys that are not slouches here. We're talking Darrell Williams, who they signed from Carolina, whose best position is guard.
Yep.
You have to believe he's going to be lining up there some. You've got Evan Bame, who's a center and a guard. Whether he's part of this competition, I guess, remains to be seen. And then you've got younger players. You know, you're talking Ike Butker, you know, guys like that. What do we expect to see, you know, next week when hopefully we get a chance to watch practice and kind of take it in and make our own assessments? I don't know if it's different now, because the run-up to the season is different. I really wonder, Steve, how much these quote-unquote open competitions that Coach McDermott usually likes to let unfold, I wonder if there's time to do that now. Or if you just say, look, we think this is the best guy. Let's just get him in there and get him ready with the other four. We got to get ready for the season. We can't let these competitions play out like we want them to or like we had them in the past. What do you think about that? Do you think the time constraints here maybe compromise that, or do you think Coach McDermott goes with regular competition like he always has?
It certainly compromises the time and the reps, no question. But I am absolutely 1,000% sure that Sean McDermott's got a plan to overcome that. And you know what I mean?
Yep.
He's going to have to say, listen, here's how we're going to do it. Here's how it's going to work. But you got Darrell Williams, Evan Baim, Ryan Bates, Brian Winters. You've got guys there that are and that's nothing to say nothing of Quentin Spain, any of these tackles like Victor Sulaco and Trey Adams and, of course, Darrell Williams, as you said. But any of the other guys that, you know, play Ty Nsekhe, Brandon Walton, all these guys, every name out there. And here's the thing with offensive linemen, and I never played it, but I know this. I've seen every offensive lineman I know play more than one position on the offensive line. Every single guy I ever played with, and they all have played different spots. Yeah. Even Will Wolford did, Howard Ballard did, Jimmy Richards, the only guy I ever saw play one spot and never move. Even the other guys like John
but he played
Davis,
a different position in college.
Right,
Jimmy?
He was center in college, yeah. I think. He was an Outland Trophy winner, I think. And then, you know, all those guys. John Fina played guard and tackle. Glenn Parker played guard and tackle. All these guys all played multiple positions. And here's the thing. I would think that when they line up, all these players' versatility is paramount to them making the team. So they're all going to be welcoming an opportunity.
More now than
right.
maybe ever.
Right.
With
they're
COVID.
All going to be welcoming the opportunity. And maybe even if they don't welcome it, they're going to be asked to say, listen, be ready. So I think even these young players, like Trey Adams is 6'8". You don't see 6'8 guards for whatever reason.
Right.
But man, oh man. You get into a COVID situation or in the season, it's like, you know, hey, bro.
Strap it up.
Move in 3 feet and get your other hand on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of thing. So, and the way it also works, too, if they are committed to getting better, which I would think Sean McDermott is, and as well as the rest of the coaches and the players, when they get a lot of different players in there, if they've got better athletes, guys who have better traits, they're going to put the best five guys on the field no matter who lined up week 17 last year. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm saying like Quentin Spain, Mitch Morse, Deion Dawkins, and all the other guys, Cody Ford, all these other guys. Now, granted, it would take a 20-mule team to find a guy better than some of those guys at their spot. Nevertheless, you got to earn it. And I think this coaching staff makes no apologies for the fact that guys like Mitch Morse, like Deion Dawkins, like Cody Ford, they got to earn it.
Right.
So they're going to put five. I think this offensive line, if they do it that way, which they will, it's going to be really good. I mean, really good.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to make a big difference in the way how effective this offense is this year as compared to last year.
The last comment that we are going to play for you from Brian Winters deals with these very time constraints that we're talking about. Winters is a veteran in this league, but he's got to get up to speed here. And we got to remember this too, Steve. This longer waiting period to actually get in the building. Winter's first day in the building was Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, he had to go through the testing protocols.
You mean yesterday?
Physical off-site. Yeah, as in yesterday. So, yes, he is a veteran. He's seen a lot of schemes. He's been through a lot of terminology.
Nobody's
but
a
he's
COVID
only been
veteran.
With one club here in the league, granted through a couple of coaching changes with the Jets. So...
Brady, this is everybody's rookie season with COVID.
Yeah, and that too.
All of
so
us.
So here is Brian Winters on getting up to speed, something that he doesn't seem too concerned about, although he is committed to putting the time in.
Yeah, a lot of that's just off the field. You got to learn your players and learn your teammates. And you know, I feel like that's something I'm good at. And I know how these people play. I've been watching them for a long time. And, you know, I just feel like just the film study, just got to look back at their film, see how they handle different things, you know, and how I can be a help to them and how I can fit in with their system. So, like you said, the reps are going to be limited, but a lot of it I can just look over film and, you know, being a veteran guy, I feel like I should be fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's And Mitch Morse addressed this as well with respect to Brian. And again, he'd only been with him for a day when he was talking to the media.
Right.
But he said, yeah, he'll be quick on the uptake. And Winters even said, I talked to Mitch Morse my first day here, and I basically said to him, hey, I'm going to be asking you questions, so don't think I'm a weirdo or anything. I'm going to be asking you stuff that I need to know so I can get this stuff down. And he's using the common practice that a lot of players use when they get to a new team. He's using translation, you know, from his old system and what they called it there, and he's right. applying it to the new system and what they call it here. But it was interesting to me, Steve. He commented about how he'll be able to pick things up just by watching the team's game tape. Like, how do these guys handle this combination block? Oh, they do this when that happens. Okay, I can do that. I understand. Bang, 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 done. Like, he doesn't have to be walked through, yeah. you know, the blocking techniques and the pass off and, you know, I'm going to reach here and help for a second and then I go here. Like, he just sees it on film. Okay, and that what do we call that? All right, yeah, I can do that. No problem.
Right.
Like, that's what a veteran brings you, right?
That's right. And also, given the fact that he's played 79 games, his blocking technique is such that he's going to be able to handle whatever's thrown at him. You know, so he's not going to know, you know, he's not going to have to learn that, you know, you got to step with your lead foot rather than your trail foot. You got to, you know, you got to put your hands up high on the shoulder on this when you step here instead of coming across with two hands. You got to get your, you got to step to your right with your right hand and jab the guy, but you don't look at him. You look over here, and you know what I'm saying? You got your eyes here.
Yeah, your so hands all those are here, your eyes are there.
Right, your hands are here, your step is here, but your eyes are over here. That kind of technique stuff is going to be very familiar with him. Not so much with young players, or not least to the same level. So that kind of stuff, you're right. It's all about the language rather than the technique.
And for Winters, he said he was influenced to sign here chiefly by offensive line coach Bobby Johnson, who he says is earning a lot of respect around the league for the job he's done here, number one. And number two, those two guys both share Mid-American Conference roots. Bobby Johnson played his college football at Miami University in Ohio, and Brian Winters went to Kent State. So, you know, two Ohio college football players that kind of probably struck up a good conversation on the phone rather quickly. So kudos to Coach Johnson for reeling this guy in, because there was interest elsewhere. We will take a break. When we come back, we will get to a little bit of what Mitch Morse had to say about Josh Allen, among other things, and we will revisit the tweet sheet, as we want to know from you what the potential and what's looking likely to be a cancellation of the fall college football season means to you. Weigh in on the tweet sheet or even give us a call if you want, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. It's One Bills Live, presented by Collider. Back on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you as we are.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Motoring through a Monday edition, which is now on radio and television, as we...
Dun, dun, dun!
We welcome our MSG audience back in. Good to have you back with us. Excited to be back on the TV side of this simulcast. No knock against our radio listeners. They carried us through for the better part of the last 5 months. So thanks for sticking with us. And it's a good welcome back for our television viewing audience. Glad to have you with us here on a Monday as we are talking Bills football. And we just finished with some comments from Brian Winters, the first time we heard from the Bills' newest guard on the roster, who is going to be right in the middle of that competition for John Feliciano's spot while he is out. One other quick thing that I should mention with respect to John Feliciano, for those that may not have seen his Instagram posts after he had his surgery for the torn pectoral muscle, he said, I'll see you in week four. which is essentially Bills at Raiders. And I thought to myself, man, I thought pectoral muscles were like a full season injury. This guy thinks he's coming back in week four. And I'm I'm just going
to
tell you.
They said 8 to 10, right?
Yeah.
And they said that? Yeah.
I've talked to Mongo enough to know how that guy's wired. Like,
oh, yeah. Who did he play for before he came to Buffalo?
Oakland.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
I wonder what. So, I wonder if there's a significance to that.
So he's got that date marked on his calendar. And here's the thing.
These guys are. So was I ever like that, Brownie?
Definitely.
I was no way.
I covered the end of your career here. I wasn't here for the start of it. I was too young.
I was.
Which I can't say as much about as many things anymore. But, you were.
I was.
You were a little squirrely.
I was never like that.
After games. Because you were still coming down from game day.
Game day. Adrenaline.
Vibes.
Adrenaline.
Yeah, we'll call it that. But in any event, what made it doubly interesting was we're talking to Mitch Morse on the Zoom call on Sunday. And when we're talking to him about Brian Winters, he mentions John Feliciano and how it's, you know, a tough loss, a gritty, nasty, feisty player that gets everybody else juiced up on the line.
Right.
That's nothing new. But then he said, you know, we'll get him back in due course here. So it's great that John thinks he's going to get back in that amount of time. That's fantastic. And the Bills will be better for it if he does.
Sure.
But his teammates believe he's going to be back too. Like, yeah. Nobody is doubting John Feliciano now.
I'll tell you this. So,
because a pectoral, that's a serious injury for a lineman.
Guys are out. I mean, J.J. Watt was out, what,
I want to say he was
10
out
weeks,
10 or 12 weeks.
Last year. Not for nothing, but we had a guy like Daryl Talley. Gets both elbows and both knees done in an offseason and, like, bounces back like he's a Super Bowl.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that the guys are some guys' threshold of pain is a rumor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they just don't have one.
And he played last year with a bad shoulder that required surgery at the end of the year. He played 12 games like that. So it's not like he can't. I think the biggest question is, can he still be the effective player that he is in that kind of condition? Because, you know, as hard as he's going to go in his rehab, he's still not going to have the same level of strength that he would had he not obviously torn it in the first place. So it's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. I will be keeping my ear to the ground here on John Feliciano's rehabilitation from pectoral muscle surgery. And let me be the first to say, I am not doubting the guy they call Mongo in the locker room by any means. So good luck to him in him bouncing back and getting on the field again sooner rather than later. But in the interim, it's probably going to be Brian Winters or Darrell Williams or somebody else, who knows, at that right guard position for the starting lineup. And that person will be lining up next to one Mitch Morse, who, as I said, spoke on Sunday with the media and just a real articulate guy, gives thoughtful answers. You know, as a reporter or somebody who covers his team or someone who interviews Mitch and wants answers, he really kind of goes the extra mile with some of what he will give you to paint the picture. So he's always a pleasure to interview because you feel like he's giving you his best effort to give you the answers you're looking for. So we'll start with where we finished in the last segment with Brian Winters. So here's Mitch addressing the addition of the veteran guard.
With a guy like John getting hurt, it's never a good time, right? But we all knew that veterans, being able to get a veteran in throughout the season or before season, even in free agency, was going to be at a premium this year just because of the COVID situation and meeting times and not really getting into the building with guys until, you know, a few weeks ago. So, Brian's body work is very impressive. He's put a lot of good games together. He's started a lot of games, and I think he's hungry to be the best teammate he can be and be a good football player. And I think that's apparent even just one day in. He's a good dude, and we're excited to be with him. It's unfortunate about John. We'll get him back, and, you know, because John's such a tremendous presence in the offensive line room, and he still is. But it's not the most ideal, but having a guy like Brian come in, it's fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. And he astutely mentions the value of a veteran coming in at this late juncture. perhaps carries even more value amidst COVID than it normally does.
You talk about it too. You got guys that, you know, what we were just, we were talking about, what this roster's made up of. And not for nothing, but you always look for silver linings. So you've got these guys that are coming in. Think about how good it is for a guy like a Brandon Walton from Florida Atlantic, rookie from Florida Atlantic. Guys like this, the young offensive tackle,
Trey
like
Adams.
Victor Salako, Trey Adams. Victor Salako's got 1 year in, but
yeah, he was on the practice squad here last year.
But to come into this, you know, Ryan Bates is still a rookie, but to come into this environment with all these guys and learn and watch how they do it, it could and if they're smart enough, which they probably are, if they're smart enough to internalize what they're looking at and the environment they're in, it could turn into an extra 3 years on a career that may not have gotten off the ground. Or it could, you know, if you're going to get a regular 3.5 year career, and it could turn into a 6 or an 8 year career where you actually change your future because you're in it. That kind of environment breeds the transfer of knowledge and technique and lifestyle and mindset.
This is how you do it every single day.
Right. These young players that I was just talking to are really set up to be in a position to, you know, take it all in. And it'll help them in future years to say, listen, this is how they did it there. And then they were really successful. I'm going to do it that way. And that's the kind of when you get a smart guy in here, no matter what he did in college, if he's smart enough and tough enough, he's going to learn enough to hang around and survive. Mm-hmm. And this environment for this offensive line with these guys, Mitch Morse and John Feliciano, Quentin Spain, Deion Dawkins, all of those guys, and plus, you know, the guys who other guys who have been around, it's a great learning ground for the young players who are actually going to. Now, they may struggle to get on the field and make the roster, but if they're on the practice squad or if they're, you know, part of that protected four guys just in case COVID hits, whatever, or if they're just on the roster and don't get to play much in games, it's an environment that's going to really serve them well later in their career when they get a chance to develop, maybe even at the end of this year. Or maybe because of a COVID outbreak in the team this year, they're going to have to get in there. But the environment they've been prepared by makes them that much better. They're going to personally benefit from this.
And Mitch Morse, perhaps his most exciting comment, and I say that because as soon as I heard it, I tweeted it, were the ones that he had regarding Josh Allen and entering year three. It's very clear that, and Mitch will point this out in the comment you're about to hear from him, they didn't have a lot of time on the field last summer, if you recall. He had the surgery for core muscle, I believe, in the spring during OTAs, or maybe that was Cole Beasley. He had some injury in the spring that he had to get addressed right after he signed. Then
that was Cole.
Then he had, well, but Mitch did too.
Oh,
Mitch,
okay.
Mitch had a problem. I want to say it was abdominal related, but I don't hold me to that.
And then he had
so he missed time in the spring. Then he had in the concussion protocol for almost all of training camp. I totally forgot. They had six practices.
It was five
before they went into a preseason game.
5 weeks through training camp, he had concussion protocol.
So now here we are in year three after a season together, and this is why, it's one of the reasons why Mitch Morse is excited about working with Josh Allen, not only because there's more time between them together, even in this COVID offseason, but because of Josh's development entering year three. Let's hear that.
You know, it was not the most ideal for me coming in, going back to back, having surgery and then a concussion in training camp. So, we didn't get to work that much, maybe six practices. I mean, walkthroughs and such, but before the first game last year. And not to make any excuses, there's stuff we can get better at. And I think Josh has come really into his own coming into year three. It's very cool to see the way he's taking command and the communication's crisp. It's clean. It's exciting, you know, the moxie he's got even in practice and attacking every walkthrough rep like a game rep is the way you get better. And between just us two, I think we weren't able to do much this offseason just because, you know, we were in different parts of the country, different things going on in our lives. But it is something pretty cool to see just the way, you know, the communication is crisper. And I know I just harp on that, but less is more sometimes. And portraying information promptly and decisively is kind of something that I'm seeing right now just between us two. And it's something we could definitely grow on. But it's fun to see, and it's making our jobs a lot easier.
So that's encouraging. I mean, we haven't seen Josh here in this year three setting because no OTAs, no mini camp.
Right.
And it won't be until next week until we probably lay eyes on them. But his demeanor in the practice setting is at a different level now. And the fact that the communication between those two is crisper, cleaner, more decisive means that communication gets up and down the line at the proper time. And now maybe if you need to up the tempo, as Brian Daboll likes to do, he changes tempo, you know, from time to time, sometimes right in the middle of a drive.
Right.
You're more equipped to execute it that much faster.
And it's part of Mitch's job to spin stuff positive for the quarterback, for his guy taking snaps. So
right.
You're going to get the best case scenario. But the proof is actually in the pudding. I do get a sense of he's probably telling the truth because he answered it the way he did. I mean, there's plenty of space for a player to talk about other things and answer a question in whatever way he feels like it, you know, without saying anything bad. And you kind of get sift through the positive spin and that kind of stuff to the point of him thinking that Josh has really improved, that things are going to be different this year. It's going to be a different atmosphere in the huddle. So I think he has seen some things in Josh. I don't think there's any question he's seen a lot in Josh that makes him pretty optimistic about how Josh is going to play and how the offensive line is going to play in front of him.
And Mitch even said himself, you know, last year being the new guy on the scene with a new line to weave together, I was thinking a lot and probably too much, he said, about what I had to do. He said, that's gone now also, so I can more effectively communicate to everybody what they need to do. Because he said there were times where I wasn't quite sure what I had to do, and I went mute, and I can't do that as the center. So he's like, that's not going to be an issue this year for me because right. I know what I have to do on every play. Now I can be a more effective communicator all the time pre-snap, which is critical.
Continuity is not a myth.
It's not in this game.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing. Yeah. And the continuity allows you to evolve into something better and more productive than you were before. But you can't get there unless everybody knows things about what they're talking about without having to explain what they're talking about. And it seems like the Bills are getting there pretty quickly.
All right, we got to take a break. But when we come back, we'll hit up the tweet sheet, see what you guys are saying about what the potential cancellation of the college football season this fall means to you. Let us know. Hit us up on that tweet sheet. We'll get back to it when we come back. It's Chris Brown and Steve Tasker with you here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here with you on One Bills Live. Coming up after the 2 o'clock break will be one Doug Farrar from USA Today, NFL writer for them, and also covers college football. And he's got an interesting article about how COVID-19 will change the face of college football. So we want to talk to him about that as we are anticipating some dominoes falling in the world of college football. Already the Big Ten Conference has said, yep, we're done for the fall, no football there. And the Mid-American Conference yesterday did the same thing. They were the first FBS conference to cancel the football season in the fall. And we're kind of waiting for the other shoes to drop from the Power 5 conferences like the Big 12, the Pac-12, the SEC, and the ACC. So we'll see where all of that goes. But it looks like the wheels are already in motion for that. We wanted to get back to the tweet sheet, and I believe we were up to Tiffany there, which is asking, what does a cancellation of college football this fall mean to you? And Tiffany says, the draft process will be flipped upside down with no college football. In my opinion, it opens the door for the XFL in the future to become a developmental league for the NFL. Athletes may consider taking another route to play professional football if colleges take away sports programs. Well, while I partially agree that it could be an opportunity, there's no way colleges are taking away football. That is their cash cow. I think they just put it on pause either for this calendar year or they try to find a way to make it happen in the spring. And with the money involved, you got to believe they're going to try 8 ways to Sunday to find a way to have football in the spring.
Yeah, college football, for the most part, it's my understanding, and I'm not an accountant, but from what I've read and what I understand, in most cases, even at the, especially at the big schools like Ohio State and, you know, Alabama and Clemson and, you know, LSU, the football program pays not only for the football program, but also pays for, you know, the soccer, the volleyball, the baseball program, yep. the swimming program, you know, all of that stuff. They all have, you know, their budgets are all covered by the intake of tickets and stuff from the football program. So if the football goes away, it's not going to be just the football going away.
Yeah. It'd be a lot of other stuff. And yeah. then if that is the case, which I really don't see happening, well, then, yeah, XFL could have a whole new landscape yeah. in which to work.
And I still think I want an answer. I wonder what it's going to look like if the college football season gets moved back to, like, say, for instance, they push their college season back to March. They start playing March 13th or before St. Patrick's Day, you know. Go through March, April, and May. Have bowl games in mid-April. And that right there is your, you know, is your college football season. And all of a sudden people are like, I kind of like finishing in the nice weather and stuff and the bowl games. And the bowl games like it because they can get people to come in and, you know,
you
that kind of
bowl
thing.
Games up north.
Right. So all of a sudden,
until
maybe,
late
that,
April.
Maybe that industry or that calendar clock that we all have where it says when the fall comes, football starts, maybe that gets moved to the spring for college football and it you know, they do it because they like it better for some reason. I don't know why that would be. But certainly anything is possible at this point.
Yeah, all bets are off now. All bets are off.
It gives the colleges a chance when they start school in the fall, the football team could practice for 3 or 4 months before they have a game instead of just coming in and early yep. in camp and all of that. They can give these kids their summers off, spring and summers off. They wouldn't have to come in for all that stuff they do in the offseason,
spring ball
and all that. They could have fall ball, you know,
yeah.
instead of spring ball. And it'd be practices, and so they'd be better, more well schooled when the spring comes around.
From KMG on the tweet sheet, they're taking option E, which I didn't know was listed. I don't think it is. I think it shows that schools are being responsible. If it's not safe for them to be in classrooms or for spectators to be in the stands, it certainly isn't safe for them to be on a field tackling each other, and that is a viewpoint that we probably haven't heard enough of,
right.
especially for, you know, college athletes. And I know that there have been some people out there in the Twitterverse that have tweeted as much and basically said, sometimes we need more sensible people to save us from ourselves. Everybody wants
sure.
football, and that's great. And I'm talking about college football right now.
Right.
Trevor Lawrence wants to play. You know, Justin Fields at Ohio State wants to play. Coaches want to coach. We get it. But I don't know if the way the college football and college sports in general is currently constructed on campuses with, in some cases, tens of thousands of students. I don't know how that kind of construct works with COVID. I just think there are too many roadblocks in the way to effectively put together enough protocols to make it safe for college athletes. And you're talking about people's kids. I mean,
yeah.
that's what you're talking about. So.
Yeah, and it's telling, too, that it's when they cancel the football season, they cancel everything.
Yeah.
Like soccer. Hockey.
It's all gone.
It's all gone because there's no money to run it without football.
All right, we got to take a break because coming up next, we've got one Doug Farrar from USA Today as he is going to talk to us about this very subject, how the cancellation of college football has been completely changed by COVID-19. He just put a story up today. We'll get into that with him along with all the other layers that college football has on the college sports landscape in total, knowing the revenue generator it is. We'll talk with Doug when we come back. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.